Friends, turn to that passage in God's Word in Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16. The verses that I want us to consider are verses 14 and 15. It's the only two verses in the Bible that describes the life of Lydia's conversion, who became a godly and zealous woman of God. Let us read those words again in verses 14 and 15 of Acts 16. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the house of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Her conversion is told with simplicity. There was no loud noise. There was no loud music. There was no great voice from heaven. There was no change in her physical appearance, or she wasn't shaking. And yet, it's simply put that the Lord opened her heart. The Apostle Paul, evidently, in this passage and in this time that he visited Philippi, this first time, he felt just as happy in ministering to a few God-fearing women as to a great crowd in the synagogues. In all probability, there would have been no synagogue in Philippi. It was a Gentile city. It was a colony. There were a few Jews there, but not in great number at all to have a synagogue. So here by the riverside, these women met for prayer at certain regular times. And Paul recognized a God-given opportunity for preaching the gospel to them. And one of these women who met for prayer was Lydia. Of her we read, the Lord opened her heart. Friends, if you were to read on, we would read about Paul and Silas being thrown into the jail, and the prison keeper, the jailer, we read that of his conversion, that there was an earthquake there. And when Lydia came to know the Savior, there was silence. It was silent, noiseless, undramatic movement of the Holy Spirit in her heart, applying still with power the gospel that was preached by God's minister. Friends, God works very differently in different people. You can't try to put yourself under pressure and say, well, why this thing that was done in this person has not been done in me? The point that you should be seeking after is to know Christ, to know your sins forgiven. That's what you need to seek after. Not simply have the same thing that has happened to someone else and their experiences to be copied into your life. The Lord, you see, understands our background. He understands your character. He understands our temperament. He is the one who's formed us and fashioned us. And He knows just how to meet our deep need and the way to approach us in our need. Some people are converted suddenly. Others come to know the Lord gradually. Some come publicly, and others privately. Some come with great emotion, and others without much emotions. The important thing is to know that we have been converted, and it is a genuine conversion. That's what it is. That to know that your conversion is genuine, it is true. Even if you don't remember the time of it, even if you don't remember the place of it that took place. And the question is, are you trusting Jesus Christ? And are you able to say now, with the words of the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Can you say that? Has the Lord opened your heart, has done a heart surgery over you and entered in by his own power? And the apostle says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 15, or 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, I should say, he says, and challenges all, he says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So I want to this morning think about the conversion of Lydia. We have come to see Lydia before. It's a wonderful account of this conversion of this woman. And we want to think about four things this morning. First of all, God's plan. Secondly, God's preparation. And then thirdly, we want to see Lydia's serious hearing of the gospel. And then fourthly, I want us to think about four marks of genuine conversion. So those are the four things that I want us to think about. First of all, let us think about from these verses of God's plan for Lydia and others. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Although Lydia was an obscure and humble woman, it was through her opened heart the gospel passed into Europe. It is through her, the means of her, that the gospel passed into Europe. She was a native of Thyatira. And she was, we read, she's a seller of purple. And that tells us a number of things about her and who she is. But by selling purple, it was either the silk cloth of purple color that they would have called simply the purple, or it was the purple dye for dyeing clothes. But that's what she did. She sold that. She was in one sense a businesswoman, we could say. But her name would not have been mentioned in Holy Scripture had it not been for God's gracious dealings with her. Here is this woman. Nothing special is said other than the Lord saved her, opened her heart. And yet the Lord used her. In 1 Corinthians 1 and the passage that we read together in verses 26 through to 29, we read this. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things of which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Friends, God delights to choose ordinary people. God delights not to choose them, but to use them for his own glory. It's not something special about them. But he calls them, he saves them out of his own abundant love and grace. That's why. Are we ordinary people? Are you an ordinary person? You would say, yes, I am an ordinary person. There is really nothing much special about me. Friends, people have got all kinds of wrong ideas about Christianity and about God, thinking there must be something extraordinary wrong with these people. These people who are here, they must have some problems, some major problems. And they look at us as if we have all kinds of issues. We are such weak people that we need a crutch. And Christianity is one of the crutches that we use. Some people think of Christians like that. Or they think there's something very special about that. I couldn't go to a place like this. I couldn't be amongst these people because they must be such holy people. They must be such a special people that how could I be in their presence? Sometimes people think that way too. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ receives sinners, the Bible says. And we are not converted because there is something special in us, but because of God's special grace and mercy. The significant thing for us to notice here is that when God wanted to enter a new continent to save many people, He chose Lydia. Lydia was the first one who was converted in Europe. She was the channel through which He would work. There is a church in Thyatira, her hometown, that the early church wrote that she was the one who was the backbone, as it were. She was the great supporter in that church in Thyatira. She was a great servant of the Lord. And that is what the Lord did. The Lord chose this simple woman, and as He has chosen many throughout the history. He chose William Carey when He wanted the message of the gospel to go into India. He chose David Livingstone when He wanted to show His power in Africa. And Lydia's opened heart was the vantage point. It was the viewpoint for the gospel in Europe. And think what God can do through one life when He gains complete control of it and it is yielded to Him. One life that trusts in the Savior fully. Are you ordinary people? God saves such ordinary people. Can life have a purpose and be useful? God always uses those whom He saves to do His will. So a person's life who is not converted, it is aimless. They don't know where they are going. They don't know their destination. They're aimlessly wandering, just seeking to do the best they can for themselves. But when God saves a person, He makes them useful, not just for themselves, but for this world and for eternity too. So that's the first thing, that the plan of God was to save this woman. That's why the Apostle Paul went there. But the second thing is God's preparation of Lydia. God's preparation. Lydia was a worshipper of God before her conversion. Something had moved her to begin to search and to try to worship. And that's what we find. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. Something had moved in her heart to worship God, at least outwardly. She had realized something, that there is a God to worship. That's a good start. She had realized that she's not merely a body. She's not like animals. But that she has a spiritual soul. She began to see that there must be a creator. There must be more to life than selling of cloths and dyes. There is more to life than looking after your family. She must have realized that. She must have realized that the teaching of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, it is true that Jehovah is real and I must worship Him. She had learned these things. And we are told that she is in a prayer meeting where prayer is wont to be made. People were there because they wanted to pray. And God answered their prayer. Maybe in a way that they didn't expect it, God answered. She was obviously sincere in her religious observations, but was not born again. She wasn't a child of God by the second birth. And that's so critical, friends, to be born again of God's Spirit. Without it, there is no spiritual life. We can simply be church attenders. And we can go from this place to that place. And we might find somewhere that people are more friendly, or people are more enthusiastic, and or there would be the kind of music that we enjoy, or all sorts of other things. We can go. The most important thing is to be born again of the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus Christ put it like this: except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Before she heard the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what he preached to them, it says that he preached to them the gospel. Before he heard that, or she heard the message of the gospel, Lydia was not saved. Why? Because she did not trust in Jesus Christ. You see, salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. Her heart had not yet been opened. God had not done that surgery that only that true heart surgeon can do upon her heart. And so Jesus Christ was not welcomed there. Jesus Christ was not received in her heart. How many people there are just like this? The Bible describes them as having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. There's some outward spiritual things in their lives. They would pray, but God is not influencing them. The message of the gospel has not taken hold of them with power. They are sincere and regularly attend church, but they are not yet Christians. The one thing which makes a man a Christian is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, in our hearts, working in us, changing that heart, giving eternal life to the soul, when it's forced and it trusts only in Him, that He died for our sins and paid that debt, and clearing of guilt before the Holy God. That's what Jesus Christ has done. Have you come to realize that? Have you come to receive that? It's the recognition, a deep hatred for our sins, a clear confession and repentance from this sin. You shun sin, you run away from it, you escape from it. This is what had not happened yet. But God was already working. She was in the best place to be. If your soul is dried, and if you know your estate that it is barren spiritually, the best place to be is under the sound of the Word of God. The best place to be for you to be in a place like this, to hear the Scriptures preached to you. So she was showing deep interest in things which were most important than worldly and passing pleasures. The third thing is this, of Lydia's serious hearing. Lydia's serious hearing. It says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us." She heard. She listened. Whose heart the Lord opened. So it the opening of the heart didn't happen until she was hearing. It's power in the Word of God, my friends. It is Holy Spirit inspired and Holy Spirit blessed. And the Lord opens hearts while it is being heard. And then it says that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She attended to them. She listened to them carefully, diligently. You see, this woman was a businesswoman, busy. And yet she attended the place and time of prayer. Oh, what blessing there would be if all busy people would pack the places of prayer like this. At times of prayer, both men and women and boys and girls. If this is done genuinely and sincerely and passionately, with a heart full to praise God and to pray to the Lord, I do believe that the Lord will send you that personal revival that you need. The Lord may send this congregation the revival that we need and save the people, and the community around us would be affected if we gather together with a heart to pray. She gathered there at the time with all the other things going on in her life to pray, and she heard the word of God. Is this not what you long for? Isn't your soul barren? Then what do you do for that? Emulate, copy Lydia here. Is this not what you know that you need? The Lord to touch you, the Lord to bless you, the Lord to speak to you. It's the gathered assembly that God blesses, and because God has said it, that He would be there in our midst, He says. Lydia listened to the gospel, and the Lord saved her. God met her in that prayer meeting, and she heard the word of God. And this is a clear illustration of what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. That is, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lydia hearing the gospel and faith becoming operating and operative in her heart. Lord opened hearts. The heart was closed. Listen, it doesn't say she opened her heart. No. It wasn't that the Lord was outside knocking on the door of her heart and then she opened her heart. It says the Lord opened her heart. And that's what happens when we pray. When we gather to pray, God works in opening hearts and changing hearts and setting souls free. So Lydia, hearing this, had her heart changed. She's listening. It says she heard, and then she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She listened seriously. It wasn't just a normal hearing. She might have heard things before. She had been in this place before, but that day it was different to every other day. You see, my friends, she heard that day about Jesus Christ. You may hear about God. You may hear lots of motivational talks about things if you attend certain places, and if you go to, it becomes a psychological talk of how to get your life back into order and back into things. But what we need to hear most is about Jesus Christ, what He has done. And that's what she heard. It wasn't some sort of a moralistic message, but she heard about Jesus Christ from the Apostle Paul. That Christ has come into this world to save sinners. That there is no other remedy for the guilt and the need of man to be right with God. Paul would have declared something from the words of the Savior himself, or some other text from the Old Testament. He would have explained what it is for God to love this world, to send His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Apostle Paul would have spoken about these things, about the coming of Christ. He would have said clearly, definitely, that Christ is the Messiah of Israel, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. He preached that elsewhere in other places. He would have said similar words, pointing people and say, you need to be saved. And God has sent the Messiah whom He had promised. And He has come and done this great work upon the cross. And this is what you hear today. You hear the same message. God hasn't changed. Praise God for that. Amen. His gospel hasn't changed. The way He saves hasn't changed. And so she heard about the person and the work of Christ. And her mind began to understand. God was opening, you see. God was opening her heart. She began to see things. Light began to shine into her darkened heart in a way that she'd never experienced this before. She'd never heard anything like this before. She began to understand that if she was to be converted, if she was to be saved, if she was to be forgiven, it's not down to her, but Jesus has been sent, and she began to trust him. Her heart was touched that God had sent his only begotten son to bring peace for souls. God was opening and did open her heart and gave this spiritual life to her as she believed. Oh, praise God for this. Have you experienced this? What if God had left her? What if she just heard another message? What if it was just another mundane prayer meeting, a normal prayer meeting? But that time it was different. We may go through certain things and we think, well, I'm just coming to another service. You've experienced many services. You've come to many meetings before. But who can tell what God will do? Who can tell what is God's plan and what he has ordered? Maybe it is this morning that he has said, I will have a word for your soul. If God had left her, she would still be a nice person. She would still be a helpful person. She would still be a hard-working woman. But still, she would be spiritually lost and on her way to hell. She was hearing the gospel that Paul preached. Is this us? We would be now listening to this good news of forgiveness by Jesus Christ. Seriously? Are you seriously listening to this? Thinking, this is a matter of life and death for me. And thinking of the fact that this must relate to me. This must apply to me. Where am I with this? Friends, there shouldn't be anyone here who would leave without facing the facts about themselves and about what God demands. God demands from you perfect holiness. God demands that you would be perfect. That's his demand. But we cannot. We cannot be perfect. We cannot be holy in that sense of the way God is holy. He's a standard which is holy. Why is that? It is due to our sin. Because of our sinfulness. Because of our dead hearts. Because of our depravity. We cannot give that perfection to God. So we are guilty and we must beg for mercy on the ground of the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed at Calvary's cross. We should trust him only. Only in that way that God has made for us to escape. And that is to admit your sin. To repent from your sin. To accept that and to humble yourself before the Lord. And to turn to Jesus Christ who died to bear away our sins. And trust him fully. Have you ever trusted him fully? To confess him from the heart that he is Lord. And so Lydia believed this good news. And God saved her. So those are the three things. God's plan to save Lydia and other people. God's preparation of her heart and her circumstances that she was there on that day. What if she missed that time? What if she wasn't there that week when the Apostle Paul came? So all of these things were being prepared by the Lord. And then her serious and sincere listening to the message for herself. Now, the fourth thing is that I just point out four marks of genuine, true conversion. There are various others that we could add, but just the things that we see in our text here. Four marks. You want to know what are the marks of a basic marks of a true child of God, a person who is truly converted? Mark number one is this. Confession of Jesus Christ. Confession of Jesus Christ that he is Lord. I confess him to be mine, personally. Lydia lost no time in confessing her Lord. We read that she was baptized along with all the members of her household who also believed in verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. So she was baptized. That is a public profession and confession of our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. So here again we have this scriptural order, which is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then be baptized. Not the other way around. We must receive Him as Savior and confess Him openly as Lord. And this is what we see happening again and again in the descriptions of people who were converted in the Scriptures. Here is God's ordained method of confessing openly that we have trusted in Christ as our Savior. This would have brought, of course, her into disrepute with the Jews who were there, with the small community of the Jews. Everybody would have talked about it. It would have brought her business into disrepute. It would have brought shame upon her in that community. But she was confessing Jesus Christ. She was baptized without caring for the painful consequences. So what a wonderful baptismal service this must have been. In the river, just near to the spot where she was converted. What a testimony she was to others. What's happened to this woman? She was a godly woman. She went to a place of prayer where most other people wouldn't go. But now something else has happened. She's been saved by Jesus Christ, and she's openly publicizing it. She's telling other people by her baptism that this has happened in me. Oh, God cleansed not only her outside of her body, but God cleansed and washed her from inside. And now she shows it by the sign of baptism. She wants to witness to it and follow the Lord Jesus now. To confess Jesus Christ, my friends, as our own Savior, is a good mark of conversion. Christians are witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are being read. If you name the name of Christ, you are being read by the people around you. Mark number two is the effects on others. The effects on others, the testimony on others. Lydia's testimony and the change in her life blessed those in her own household. She had come to confess her sins. She was turning now away from her sins. She'd come to realize that what the Lord was calling her to live for. So her servants saw this. Her children, her lodgers, were all blessed in some ways. This was now a different woman. It's a different Lydia. The fact that, friends, there is no mention of a husband and that there were no others to take care of her, hence she's working, you see, she's selling purple, it tells us that most likely her husband had died. And that would have been, she would have been a younger woman, it seems, at least, because her children are not of an age to look after her. So she had younger children. I would not fall into the idea that they were babies. No, no. But they were not of an age that they could be by themselves. And so she must have had a difficult life. Think about it. A single parent with responsibilities over that household. No husband to care for things. She must have had it tough. But her conversion was the means of blessing them spiritually too. And this is an important thing to note, as they also want to follow in the same way. They've come to trust in Jesus Christ too. Friends, what happens at conversion? There's a change of heart. There's a change of attitude. There's a change of thinking. The whole person has changed. There's a peace that floods the soul. I have peace with God. Lydia would say, I have eternal life. I am forgiven. This in turn changes our behavior towards others. The person doesn't become perfect, but there is a change for good. The wife whose who has a Christian husband can see good things, humility and greater love in him. A husband does not need to worry if his wife will remain faithful to him if she's converted. He would list many things, but conversion blesses others. By God's grace, others too will want to know their reasons and might seek the Lord too. Who can tell by your faithfulness, by your witness, what effects you have upon others around you? Lydia was not only the one to be baptized. The members of her household were baptized also, which means, of course, that they also believed on the Lord Jesus, and God opened their hearts too to receive him as their Savior. But Lydia was influential. Mark number 3 is good works follow. She begins to serve. She begins, her life is now changed. The course of her life is now changed. She's looking heavenwards. Oh yes, she's still selling purple. Oh yes, she's still busy with her normal duties of life. But her course of life has changed. She's no longer living for those things. You see, Lydia's faith shows itself in good deeds. She was not saved by good deeds, because that's not how salvation comes to anybody. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 3:20, for example, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. By simply following the law of God, we cannot be justified, unless we keep it perfectly, and no one can. It says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It is true, however, that faith without works, without the deeds, is dead. Where there is true faith in Jesus Christ, there will be deeds to prove, to show the reality of that faith. And her Christianity, you see, is not nominal. Her Christianity was not only in name. Lydia's open home was the evidence of her opened heart. So it says, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She said all kinds of things to get us to go, and we couldn't say no. Lydia began to say, I want to serve the Lord in whatever way I can. The Lord has given me a home. I can use that. And we have many examples like this in the Bible. You have Zacchaeus, who was a stingy and wicked tax collector. After his conversion, he went to bring restitution. There is this prison keeper, later on, if we were to read it, who gave evidence of his conversion in washing and cleaning the disciples and giving them a meal and loving them. We read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. What a challenge. The Christian is not sitting still and is not self-obsessed. The Christian shows love, however weakly, however poorly it may be, but they show love where he can. The Christian is practical, because God has saved him to serve and to give him the glory. Is that you? And finally, think about this. Desiring faithfulness to Christ. Desiring faithfulness. I want to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I want. To be faithful to him, to love him. See what she says? She says, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Doesn't say, if you have judged me to be faithful to you, to other people, to my family. No, no. If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. She longs to be true to the one who had done so much for her. So she puts this question to the apostles. Do you judge me to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? If by what you see that I have received the message of salvation and want to continue in Christ, then come and be my guest. I want to serve you. I want to show you some compassion. I want to serve the Lord in caring for you. Is this our genuine and active desire just to be faithful to Him at all costs, whatever people might say? So here are some of the marks. Of course, there are other things that we could think about, and the scripture in other passages speaks of other kinds of marks of a true child of God. For example, prayer, continuing on in the apostles' doctrine, and such things. But remember God's plan for Lydia. Remember how God had already been working and preparing Lydia. Remember that how she was hearing so seriously the word of God. And remember that how that faith in Jesus Christ showed itself in reality in her life. Friends, this is what the gospel does. This is what the preaching of the word of God does. Has your heart been opened by the Lord? Or are you still in that state that Lydia was before hearing the gospel? Still being a sermon hearer and still the same. Pray to God. Pray to God then. Lord, open my heart. I have seen this woman Lydia. I've read her account many times. Lord, I don't want to be just the same as before. Do that heart surgery on me too. May the Lord then bless these things to our